565 people emerged out of a mine in Orkney, Zama Zama. Yes. That's just another example of a complete underground economy that happened.
Yes.
I
mean, it's literal. It's literally an underground economy. Mark, hello, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sort of vacationing for a couple of days in your part of the beautiful little Karoo here, where there are just mountains upon mountains of beautifulness.
I know.
We do have quite an extraordinary, beautiful country. Let's find a way to share it. Anyway, good morning, Tim. You know, tomorrow is the USA election. Tomorrow. Not next week. And not next week anymore. And the sort of projections range from a sort of a Trump landslide to a Kamala's marginal victory to a I've got no idea.
Yes.
And it's getting personal and it's getting increasingly childish.
Yes.
Okay. I've got nothing to say about it anymore except to say it's tomorrow.
We've spoken about it lots before, so we've said what we want to say, I guess.
I want to quote Barbara Streisand.
Right.
Where she said, Trump is too old, too unhinged, and too unstable for the most demanding job in the world. Okay.
Yes.
And I think that kind of sums up one side of the discussion. Anyway, yeah, I'm not qualified to say much more about it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Africa is prepared for either way.
Yeah, but just on the subject of elections, have you been following what's been happening in Botswana?
Yeah. I mean, there's sort of a peaceful handover, it seems to me. It seems to me there's a sort of a renaissance happening in Africa politics. I mean, I think yesterday is no longer good enough for tomorrow. People are wanting to see change. They are. Am I brave enough to say we are open to change? We are open to newness. We are open to forward thinking instead of clinging on to power. Is that happening, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, this is a good example of really an extraordinary, massive change.
Yeah.
So the Botswana Democratic Party not only lost the election, but went from, this is the party that has run the country for 58 years since independence. And then they went on from being, you know, a super majority to being the fourth largest party.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. You know, that is change for you. And then extraordinarily easily and diplomatically, you know, there was a kind of change of power, a handover of power. And even after that extraordinary decline, the handover has been very sort of easy and done well. That's amazing.
Maybe you just get to a point where you've got enough and you're tired.
Yes.
And you want to retire.
Yes.
And you know, I almost think there's an argument to be made for compulsory age limits, but the exception always, you know, proves that rule to be wrong.
You know, what's interesting about Botswana, I think, is that, you know, people are still debating now what the cause was of the extraordinary implosion. Because as we all know, Botswana has been an extraordinary economic success story. The average Botswana is now richer than the average South African. But, you know, there is, you know, quite big inequality. The country is dependent on diamonds. You know, there's these sort of old hoary arguments that sort of come up again and again. But obviously something's going on, you know, something quite deep has been going on in a kind of subterranean way.
Yeah.
And as you say, you just can't help wondering whether it's a sort of general thing for the whole
continent.
For the continent. Yeah.
I think legacy failure. I think when failure becomes legacy, okay,
yes,
then people at some point go enough, you know. And slowly people see the loss of power coming. I mean, I think we're seeing trends not that different in our country at the moment, where, you know, where change is moving away from total dominance
into a basic situation
what's a different word for the situation we're in now, which is sort of, you know, combined government. I'm not going to use the term GNU again, but, you know, some sort of, you know, compromise and compete and argue and debate, whereas previously overrule. And what does that lead to? It almost, I would have thought, inevitably leads to the rising of new stars and the fading of old ones, doesn't it? And isn't that what we're hoping will happen, is that some young aspirant leaders will emerge to take us out of where we're from and to where we need to go? I think it's kind of an exciting trend, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's obviously some generational change here. It seems like in Botswana, the change was really brought about by a new generation, which is great. You know, what's also interesting about Botswana is that, you know, it reflects a little bit on what happened in Mozambique, because this is another election that's just sort of come and gone. And, you know, the dynamics of it are not clear. But so Frelimo won a huge slice of the vote, right? So 70% of the vote.
Yeah.
But a completely new party that didn't exist is now the second biggest party.
Yeah, and the people are out in the streets, eh? The people are out in the streets. I mean, there have been murmurings of civil war.
Yeah.
People have had enough. I mean, to use that old accounting expression, people are gutful of the status quo, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have an informed youth, not just a belligerent, not just a protesting for the sake of a youth. We have an informed sort of 30-year-old group of people who know what's potting. And probably know a damn sight better than we do about what's coming. And so let's bring them into the mix. I think it started. I mean, you know, as I reflect on this, you do feel encouraged about it because the same is happening in business. The same is happening in business.
Yes.
Economic models, causes of value creation are all changing, and it's all in the hands of the 30-year-old as the ultimate consumers with a future ahead of them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the other thing that's interesting is I'm sure there's going to be a lot more attention now on the Namibian election, which is next month. You know, and once again, we have, I think the dynamic is different. You know, I'm not very close to this. We should know more about these things, but I think the dynamic in Namibia is slightly different. It hasn't been a free democratic country as long as Botswana. So it may be that SWAPO will be the sort of odd person out, but we'll see. It's just woken us all up, I think, the Botswana election. It's amazing.
Yeah, but we some time ago talked about this year as being the year of the election. And someone's going to write a book about this.
Yeah.
Because if you juxtaposition all the different elections, you know, India, the US,
there's
various elections in Europe, China, wherever you look, Russia, you're going to have a very interesting case study if you compare that to the elections one turn back. There is fundamental change in how leadership is chosen, how long it's acceptable for, and how informed voters have become.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged by it all, too. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, at the beginning of the year, people were talking about this is the year of democracy because the largest total portion of the population of the world was going to vote this year. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about the decline of democracy and all of that sort of stuff. People sort of like scratching their heads and usually quite old people.
Too old.
Anyway, but it's not turning out exactly the same. Yeah. All right. Can we talk about something else? Can we talk about organized crime?
Yeah, why not? Why don't we go from hope to despair in one big step? Okay, let's just move straight into it. Yeah, I mean, the extent of violence and the sort of level of organization, you used the term organized crime, has escalated astonishingly in as short as I would say the last 3 years. Eh?
Yeah. The reason it comes up is because this guy, Mark Liffman, was shot dead on Sunday. Just outside the Garden Route Mall, you know, he's reputed. Nobody knows this stuff, you know, because the police are so useless. But anyway, theoretically, he was, you know, one of the linchpins in Cape organized crime. And it is extraordinary. It's just, you know, this is real kind of mafia-esque stuff.
Whatever side you might find yourself, it's not acceptable for people to take the law in their own hands. It doesn't end well.
Yeah.
It's just it's just one force getting deeper and stronger than another. And, you know, and I guess it's following the money. The money's pouring into Cape Town. You know, they're going to have challenges arising out of it. This is not petty crime anymore. This is chasing big pots of money, and there are organizations. I mean, I read the other day that the taxi organization was kind of stopping hitchhikers stopping people from picking up hitchhikers and stopping buses and asking people where they're going. People are protecting turfs. It's exactly the mafia.
Yeah.
It's just not family-based.
Yeah.
It's got another foundation to it. But organized crime has come to stay. I hope not to stay. It's come.
Yes. No, exactly. It's just sort of demonstrates that, you know, what we thought was like, you know, Western Cape kind of young guys and kind of gangs of Cape Town were really sort of lost township youth. You know, that was the previous interpretation of what was happening. Actually, it's not that at all. It's, you know, it's some very heavyweight people with very distinct criminal agendas, much more organized than we ever believed or thought before. And it is organized crime proper, not young men going nuts.
We have to reflect on the underlying trends, some of the trends. I mean, it's easier to steal a gun than to get a gun license. It's easier to steal money than to earn it, if you've even got the opportunity to earn it. These kinds of are foundations of despair. It's the big currents that we need to challenge. I'm going to write about it this week. I mean, you know, the big issue in water is leakage, not repair. The big issue in finance is corruption, not, you know, getting the ratios of GDP and all of those things right. You first got to stop the waste, stop the leakage out of the system. And we've got some systemic issues now in crime, which have almost become the way of life, the way of the world in some scary parts. And this thing of being hit, you know, hitmen and stuff. I mean, no one's immune from that too. There's no place to go when the guys are after you with machine guns. I mean, I walk around fancy shopping centers today, and there are people with, you know, assault rifles, you know, semi-automatic assault rifles armed to the teeth walking around shopping centers. Now, I can't bear to think of what happens when something like that goes wrong. And all of those, I would argue, rather relatively less trained people, certainly no psychological, you know, preparation and things of that nature. When those guns all start firing, you're going to have a mess, man. Yeah. What is it to do? Protect one or two individuals whose wealth is questionable and envied.
Yes.
And that, my friend, is not going to end well. Why did you take us down this rabbit hole?
We were no, and I'm not finished.
I mean, why did you do it? Are you going to go on, ruin the rest of the podcast? Go for it. You know, say something worse.
No. I just thought the other interesting thing that happened this week was about Zamazamas.
Oh yeah,
and this extraordinary situation in the Free State where
in Orkney,
you know, they basically starved out. Yeah, they starved out. But the incredible thing to me was over 500 people eventually came out of the mine.
565 people emerged out of a mine in Orkney, Zamazamas, yes, because they were starved of food and water. Yes. You can live without food for a bit, but water. And so, well, how many people are underground in South Africa at the moment illegally? I mean, if that's a sample, I don't want to extrapolate it into the millions, but sounds like it. By the way, Tim, that's just another example that's visible of a complete underground economy that are happening.
Yes,
in South Africa.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's literal. It's literally an underground economy.
Yeah, but we have under the radar economies are actually, I don't know whether they're starting to actually compare in size and influence to the real or sort of above ground economies in South Africa. I was recently near the border with Zimbabwe, and the cigarette trade that crosses the Limpopo, which is now dry, is like a stream of ants, okay, as I'm led to believe by the locals. And so there's an underground market for everything, isn't there? I mean, you can buy almost anything and trade in almost anything if you've got some cash and ill-gotten gains and intentions, and if you're armed. We've got a whole I wish we could persuade that economy into a promise of the future.
Yes.
So that, you know, so that they would feel inclined to pay for services and to pay taxes because they believed that the leadership were taking us to a better place. That's the trick. Exactly. That's the magic, yeah.
I mean, I was talking to a guy from the gold industry, and he was making the point, you can now sell gold for $2,735 an ounce. For an ounce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just an ounce. This is extraordinary amount of money. And so it's understandable, you know, and he says the Zamazama situation has just gone nuts. It's just gone nuts. And this situation in Orkney sort of demonstrates that how, you know, and there's sort of gangs involved here and there's fighting going on down below ground. And, you know, that's all of the same sort of thing.
You know what, Tim, if you do the sums on what you've just said, okay, that's about 50,000 rand. Okay.
Yes.
For a gold coin, if you like. Okay. If you say how many social grants is that? You
know? Yes, exactly.
It's a lot.
But on your other point about, you know, encouraging the underground economy to come into the light, I've always wondered why this wasn't a more overt policy of any one of the political parties. Nobody seems to talk about that because there's a lot of talk about helping the nascent economy sort of grow. But actually, that, you know, if you look at a lot of the statistics, you know, the underground economy is, you know, really enormous and it's already there. And people don't want to come out into the light because then the next thing is people are going to charge tax and, you know, then they'll have to start filling out forms and stuff like that, you know, but it's definitely there.
It's efficient. You know, I used to be involved in a bit of an understanding about the economics of fresh projects.
Right.
And you could walk around the trader streets and see which produce was in excess by who was selling it. Okay, so the street traders were selling tomatoes, you knew there was an excess of tomatoes.
Yes.
And they were the clearing system.
Yes.
If you look at the litter, the guys that rummage through our waste and collect plastics and paper and whatever else they do, that's an efficient clearing mechanism. And so the informal economy or the underground economy has found a living out of scraps, okay, that the formal economy, for some reason, doesn't build into their system. Have I got that right? I don't know if that's right, but it's kind of intriguing to know that we've got this scrap economy on which a whole bunch of people survive but are not part of the formal economy or the finances of the country or all of those things. If we got everything in the net, Tim, if we captured all the water and all the electricity and all the money that was seeping out through the cracks of our falling apart infrastructure and oversight, we would have, goodness knows what, a thriving economy. We would then start having the 3s and 4s and 8% growth that are going to sustain our growth rate in our population. We've got it. We've solved it, Tim. Okay. We've got it, man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we've gone from the negative to the positive. But, you know, this is life, isn't it?
You finished with negative. I mean, I bore myself with the amount of negativity that I have to deal with every day. So I'm over it. Okay. But some things last forever, you know. So do you know that Michael Jackson has been dead for 15 years?
Okay. Yes.
And he still gets 55 million. He's just jumped ahead of Beyonce. What's her name?
Beyonce, perhaps?
Beyonce. To beat that boy.
Beyonce. Beyonce.
Beyonce. I told you. And I'm a very young with it, modern guy. Okay. I know shit like this. Anyway. So, yeah. He still gets music downloads on Spotify of in excess of 55 million a month. Okay. But you would know that because you're the music oak in this duet. Yeah. So,
I mean, one of the most incredible videos I saw recently was, you know, the monster dance, you know, it's just been Halloween, right?
Thriller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eh? The Thriller monster dance. Yeah. Well, there was this enormous get together of people who all did the monster dance, you know, collectively. It was just incredible that it's still going, you know, some things do stay with it.
I've never been able to master the moonwalk. Can you do the moonwalk, Tim? I imagine you can.
No, I can't.
Don't tell me you've never tried, man.
Mark, we should get on with our weeks. That was interesting. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for cheering me up, Tim. Okay, guys. See you next week. Exciting times.